We're talking about having a more powerful prayer life. You say you want it. You say you want it. So we're going to read this together, and it should be familiar, and some of you might not even need to read because you know it by heart. But we recognize this along with the similar text in Luke as the Lord's Prayer. And while we know this is not a prescription, meaning it's not to be necessarily recited, notice that a few words into it, he says, after this manner. He didn't say repeat these words. He said, after this manner. In other words, pray in this way. And let's read it together. So after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, we know this so well that it's easy not even to pay attention to what it's saying. And as you read through this, what I want to highlight or what I want to point out for you or what I want to jump off the page is that while Jesus is saying pray on this manner, and there's all sorts of things we could break down in here, but there's only one part of this that you have an active part to play. Only one single part where you have an active part and even obligation. He says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Give us this day our daily bread. He is our more than enough. He is our provision. And then what does it say? Forgive us our debts. One could also say trespasses. Forgive me when I go wrong. Forgive me when I offend you. Forgive me when I fall down. Help me to get back up. Forgive me my trespasses. But what does it say after that? As we forgive those who what? Trespass against us. And then it goes back to God. Lead us not into temptation, right? But deliver us from evil. All of that. And there's one job that you have in the whole prayer. What would that be? Forgive those who have trespassed against us, or forgive those who are indebted to us. Forgive those who we got something, we can hold them over a barrel about something. Forgive those who we think we can look down on. Forgive those who we think they have a little more sin than you do. Forgive those when you look on the scoreboard and you think you're ahead in the game. Forgive those who have a flagrant foul in your relationship. Forgive those, or are you going to insist on the two free throws and the ball? Are you going to insist? There's only one part that he's asked us to play. Understand, this is a critical thing. Jesus is telling them how to pray, and he has one thing that he asked us to do. What is it? Forgive. That's a piece of cake, right? Piece of cake. Now let's go to our text. Now that we know that when we talk about prayer, you say you want to have a powerful prayer life, Jesus had one thing he wanted us to do, and that is forgive. Amen? Amen. There's power in forgiveness. And yet, we don't do it very well. When people talk about Christians, what they should say is, all those Christians, instead of saying all they want is your money and they're all hypocrites, you know what they should be saying? They're the most forgiving people. That man must be a Christian because he's so forgiving. Or, since he's a Christian, I bet he's very forgiving. And yet, are we? Lord's Prayer only asks you to do one thing. Can you do that? Can you do that? Amen. I could just stop right there and we could just go home. Amen. I could just stop right there. So now let's go to our text. You know that those of you who were here last week, we were in Mark chapter 11. same section last week. And we noted the fact that as our text was, I think, somewhere between 20 and 24 or so, something like that. And we noted the fact that Matthew chapter 21 has the same events where he's talking about naming it and claiming it. Last week was naming and claiming Sunday. It was naming and claiming Sunday. We broke that thing all the way down. And we talked about the fact that you could take the newspaper clipping, and when you do that, the person who's cutting it out is the one who determines what everybody gets to see. And if you leave a part out, you may be misrepresenting the person that was quoted. Amen?
Amen.
And so if you look at Matthew's version, he says essentially a paraphrase of 23 and 24 here in Mark chapter 11, "For verily or truly I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says." We like that, don't we? Name it and claim it is right there in red writing. He says in verse 24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Name it and claim it. Amen. Now, that's all that Matthew covers. But we pointed out the fact that it is extremely important that Mark did not omit verse 22, which comes just before that. He mentioned the fact that Jesus answered them and said, "Have faith in God." If you leave that part out, you will think that you're God and you can just say whatever you want and it's supposed to happen. Because you're God now. You can just say it right out of your mouth and it's going to be, right? And you tell me which one of us is worthy of that kind of trust. Anything you desire, you can just say it, right? You know what your desires are. You know they're not all godly, but oh, you got that kind of power. You got that kind of power. I don't think so. Now, if you're in line with God and you're rolling in his perfect will and his purpose in your life, now you open your mouth, mountains will be moved. In the Hebrew, moving mountains was emblematic of any big problem you have in your life. There is no problem too big that God can't solve. And if he gives it to you, then you can speak it. Matter of fact, you ought to speak it so God, not you, can get the credit once it comes to pass.
Amen.
Amen. And so when you get into your prayers talking about whatever you desire will come to pass, God is not a vending machine now. You are not God, right? And neither can you just say something in your prayers and God's supposed to do it. Now, if you're in line with God, it's a whole different ballgame. Now, all of a sudden, your prayers can slap the devil silly. Amen?
Amen?
And so it's important that he included have what? Faith in God. If you leave that out, it looks like it's about you and what you decide to say. And because you're a child of the king, you can just speak anything you want into existence. What would happen to your enemies if whatever you thought would happen? What would happen? Whatever you desire will go down. How many people would be guilty in your court? How many would be under the jail? How many would be given the death penalty? The point is that if you choose to only read Matthew's version and you don't harmonize these gospels, you will miss the have faith in God part. Amen?
Amen?
And it's critical to understanding the rest of this and breaking it down and knowing the history and the Hebrew history and culture. Amen?
Amen?
But the other thing is if you go back to that, you will also notice that the next two verses are also left out of Matthew's version. So if that's the newspaper you're reading and that's the only one you're reading, you're not going to get all that God wanted you to have. So let's look at verse 24 and 25. Now, he's just said in 24, we're going to look at 25 and 26, forgive me. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, that sounds good. Wouldn't that be nice if we had that kind of power? Isn't it nice when we have that kind of power? Let me put it that way. When we're in line with God and our prayers are according to His perfect will and His perfect purpose for your life. But let's look at verses 25 and 26, because these are omitted in Matthew, but they're quite critical. He says then, now he's just talking about this powerful prayer life, right? That you can believe what you received and you will have it, and we love that. But what does he say after that? He says, and when ye stand praying, what does it say you're supposed to do?
Forgive.
Mm-hmm. Say that louder.
Forgive.
When you, forget about the standing part, when you kneel praying, what?
Forgive.
Uh-huh. How many of you have this down pat? How many is it a growth opportunity? When ye, now we're talking about powerful prayers, saying whatever you desire and it will come to pass. You want that kind of power, right? If you read Matthew's version, you'll think, I'm the powerful one. It's about me. I got this. All I got to do is name it and I can claim it. That's all I got to do. But you see how Mark did not fail to include the fact that he says, all right, now while you're doing all that praying, what does he say to do? Mm-hmm. Now he goes on to say, if ye have anything against anyone, if you got anything in your heart against anybody, you need to do what while you're doing all that praying?
Forgive.
Uh-huh. You want to be powerful, what you need to do?
Forgive.
Mm-hmm. If you have any ought against any. Now this means that they are indeed guilty. This means that they did break your heart. This means that they did betray you. This means that they did say something to you that they weren't supposed to. This means that they did shortchange your relationship. This means that they really did it. They really did. So if you've got anything against someone and you want to have all these great, powerful prayers, what are you supposed to do?
Forgive.
Forgive. That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. If you don't go to God understanding that you fall short and you need forgiveness, won't be so easy to forgive everybody else. Yet if you recognize who God is and who you are and what you need, the forgiveness you need, now all of a sudden it's a little bit easier. A little bit easier to forgive. But he goes on to say, just in case you wondered if he was messing around, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you. Amen?
Amen.
We say we want to be cleaned up inside, right? We say we want to be better. Uh-huh. If I was talking about naming it and claiming it, and you're going to have a house on the hill and all that sort of stuff, that would feel good, wouldn't it? Yet Jesus said, while he was saying all that, he said, while you're praying, I need you to forgive. Amen?
Amen?
Jesus cares just as much or more about what's in us than what comes out of us. And if you have a gift and you bring it to the altar and you have an issue with your brother, what are you supposed to do? Go and reconcile with your brother, then bring the gift. He cares more about what's inside of you than he does about what prayer you can pray or any gift that you could give. Amen?
Amen?
And the gift isn't even that sweet to him. It's not even that great to him if you got a bunch of mess and stuff and you burden down with anger and resentment. We could go on and on and on until we find your thing because you got one. But the Bible repeatedly tells us to forgive. Not just because it's the right thing, but because it's in your best interest. Do you realize that? Do you realize it's actually better for you if you forgive? You don't want to forgive because you feel like you're letting the person off the hook. But who's bound? You're bound. The Bible teaches us that if we forgive, our relationships will be better and we'll have more harmony in our communities and our families. Amen?
Amen?
The medical field even tells you if you forgive, if you let go of that stuff, even your health will be better. Amen. If you forgive, he's only asking us to do one thing. Amen. But the Bible here tells us, it says, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anybody, forgive them. So that what? Your Father in heaven can forgive you. Because if you don't, he will not forgive you. So what we know now here is that your forgiveness has an impact on your standing with God. And obviously on your prayer life, because you know what? You up there talking all them great prayers and you have this issue going on. You holding something, somebody to something that you shouldn't. He's like, talk to the hand. Go fix your stuff. But we don't talk much about forgiveness. Isn't that interesting? The Lord's Prayer. Everybody knows that the only one part in the prayer that we have to do, we never talk about. Isn't that sad? Hardly ever any sermons about forgiveness. But how many of you in here know that forgiveness is powerful? Mm-hmm. When you can really do it. Isn't it sweet? Isn't it powerful? Amen. Now, since forgiveness is so important, I think we all agree on that. Let's look a little closer at it. Can we do that together? We see here that it says, and when you stand there with all them great prayers, I need you to forgive. Now, what you may not know is just like with the word love, you know, we have agape love, we have eros love, that kind is just for married people, should be, eros love, right? And we have the phileo love, the brotherly love, and then we have the storge love, the kind of love that only a parent, only a family member can really understand and have. Four words in the Greek, all translated into one single word in English, and that is love. So you can misunderstand and not get the message if you don't go to school. Amen? I don't mean school like seminary. I just mean going to school like let's break it down. Right. Amen? Amen? The same thing is true here. When it comes to the word, the English word forgive, there are three words in the Greek, all translated as forgive. And so it's important for us to extract what Jesus is trying to say here in these red letters about our powerful prayer life. Amen? You going there with me? Yeah. Amen. Now, there are three words. One of them is rarely used, and we don't even need to focus on that one. But the two that I want to focus on, the first one is charizomai. That spells C-H-A-R-I-Z-O-M-A-I. Charizomai. To show favor, to pardon, to show kindness. And often it's often used to sort of describe relations between people, when you kind of you're prone to show the kindness in the Christian community or in a family, so it's to show favor, to be nice to them, to pardon them. Isn't that nice? Isn't that beautiful? Wouldn't that breed harmony if we did that more often? Amen. So that's charizomai. It's a beautiful, nice word, and yet it's not the word he was talking about. It's not the word that the writer used, amen? So let's get to the one that actually was used here. So when he says, when you stand there or when you kneel there or whatever you are in your prayer closet and you are doing this wonderful praying that you expect what you say to come to pass, that you're believing that God's going to give you what it is that you desire, he says, forgive. And in the Greek, he's saying, aphiemi. Aphiemi, for those note takers, A-P-H. I-E-M-I, aphiemi. Now, that's the one that's used here. Now, let's talk about what that means, because once you understand what that means, then you're going to know what God is telling you to do in the Lord's Prayer and also here. You want to have a strong prayer life, right? You want to have a powerful prayer life, right? You want to get better, right? You want to be cleaned up inside? Then you better take that Swiffer mop, wet it, and put some forgiveness on it. Uh-huh. Yep. Now, this is not something that's going to get your flesh going. And yet, this is what God wants you to have. He wants you to learn how important it is to forgive. So now, this aphiemi, here's what it actually means. And understand it's translated as forgiveness. And remember what we just talked about with charizomai, right? Aphiemi, to send away, to leave alone, to release, to permit to leave, And finally, to let go. Afiemi, he's telling you to forgive, and he is telling you to send away, not in a negative way, to leave alone, not in a negative way, to release, to permit to leave. And what's the last one I said? Let it go. Can you let it go is the question. When we read our text, now all of a sudden we realize if you've got aught with somebody, if they've done you wrong and you have every reason to be mad at them, forgive, let it go. Can you do it? Can you do it? Can you do it? Can you let it go? Can you let it go? Can you really let it go? Can you do it? This is God talking. Remember, lead us not into temptation. Oh, let it go. Release the issue and the person. Now, I didn't say kick them out. You got to be able to still be under the same roof with the person and let the issue go. Uh-oh. Let that past wrong go. God said this. He said, when you step up to me with your prayers, your two-way conversation, you want me to commune with you, he says one word, forgive. Not just generically. Somebody has, you have an ought with somebody. They have done you wrong. They're actually, literally, the evidence is in, they're guilty. Let it go. Can you do that? I didn't hear yes. I heard You know how it is when somebody tells you something and you don't really agree. You know what you say? That's interesting. Yep, the church version of that is, I know what you're doing. You're not fooling me. You're not fooling me. This is a hard word, isn't it? Can you what? Let it go. So how does this word hit you now? Oh, you want this powerful prayer life. When you get to praying, I need you to let it go. Let him go. Let her go. So I think it's pretty clear at this point that there's a real distinction between Afiemi and Karitsomai, right? Karitsomai, oh, you pardon them. Oh, yeah, in your mind, I forgive them, yeah. So I can smile in their face and still hate them. I can still hang out with them, but I know. I know they're not really in the house. Yeah, this is working on us, huh? Yep. I tell you what. Just to make it a little more real for us, I want you to do a little exercise with me. Because we're trying to learn how to do what? Yeah. Try to let it, forgive, let it go. Not just the idea of forgiveness, not just this mental construct of forgiveness, not just this thing that causes us to be the fake, phony Christians and smile in your face, forgiveness. I'm talking about, really, you let it go. You let it go. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to make a fist. Real tight, two fists. If you feel like, you can also tighten your stomach muscles, but you don't have to. But just make a fist. Feels kind of good at first. Tight now. Tight. Keep it going. Don't let it go. Keep it going. Keep it going. I know it's starting to feel real good now. Keep it going. Keep it tight. Keep it tight. Does it feel good? No, it doesn't feel good. But this is what you're doing on the inside. You don't know it. In your mental and emotional life, when you're holding on to stuff, when you're holding stuff over people's head, when you're holding back because of this stuff, this is what you're doing. This is what you're doing to your mental and emotional life, but you just don't know it. You just don't know it. It shows, but you just don't know it. Keep going. Doesn't it feel good? No, it don't feel good, huh? Now let go. I want you to notice the difference between the tight fist. And with your fist being tight like this, you cannot give very easily. Nor can you receive. But we feel justified in not receiving from people. We think we're being independent. No, we just don't want any, we don't want to owe anybody. Come on, prideful people. You don't want nobody to do nothing for you because you don't want to have to do nothing for them.
Amen.
I've been there.
Yes, Lord.
I've been there. You can't do much like this. And it, who does it hurt? Do one more thing for me. We're talking about what? Trying to do what?
Let it go.
Let it go. I want you to take a deep breath. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Now let it out. Let it go. You see how that feels? Let it go. Holding it in, that's what messes our lives up. Holding it in. Does that feel good to let it go?
Yes.
I want to do one other thing. At least one thing. What we're doing here is we're trying to change this construct that we have a hard time grasping, and I'm going to make it physical for you so you understand what the word means with let it go. Take another deep breath. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Now, I want you to still hold it. I'm going to let you go in a minute, in a second, rather. This time when you let the air out, I want you to pay close attention to the next breath, not the first one. Let it out. That next one. How's that next one feel? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The next breath. How's that feel? That's what your life can feel the day after, like the day after you do the hard work of letting it go. Amen. 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 Let it go. Let it go. One more thing. We're talking about, we're trying to understand what it really means to let it go. I want you to shake your arms and hands. Now, what you're really doing is shaking your hands now. I want your hands to be completely loose, your wrists completely loose. Shake it. Shake them. Shake them. You got to shake them. Come on now. All right. Now you can stop. How do your hands feel? Do they feel tingly?
Yeah.
They feel light? The last thing you want to do is clench your fist right now. The last thing you want to do is hold on to anything. That feeling, that's what it feels like to let it go. And then the next breath. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Are you starting to understand?
Yes.
Let it go. Now, in some cases, we think we've let it go. We excommunicate the person from our lives. And so we don't deal with them anymore. And we think that's letting it go. Or we've decided that we can cohabitate, we can deal, and so you smile in their face like the good Christian person, but they're still in a prison of your mind and your emotions. Mm-hmm. You still have them locked up, and you done thrown away the key somewhere where you can't even find it. Uh-huh. But you're communicating, you're smiling, you show up, or they're outside of your life. And you convince yourselves, or we convince ourselves, that we have let it go, but they're still in prison. We're holding that person in a mental and emotional prison because we haven't really let it go. But we convince ourselves, we talk ourselves into, we're a good Christian, because really they deserve the death penalty. I let them off for that. They deserve for me to go after them with guns blazing. I'm not doing that. Right? He did me wrong. What he deserved was for me to go out and also do him wrong. He fooled around. What he deserved was for me to go and fool around. He deserved for me to put him on blast for all his weaknesses. That's what he deserved. So because we didn't do that, we took away the death penalty, we feel like, yeah, we're good Christians. We dare to call that forgiveness when it's not. But we could go further. So we don't give them the death penalty. So what do we give them, counselor? We give them life without the possibility of parole. I know as a bunch of us has done that. Oh, we're not giving them the death penalty because for one thing, that wouldn't look very Christian. So we can get away with going to church every Sunday and getting to wear the Christian little badge. And a bunch of people have life without the possibility of parole. Mm-hmm. They know by your actions and the things you say and don't say, they could never get back to that place in your life. They could never get back, but we're Christian. What does the Lord's Prayer tell us to do? The one thing it tells us to do. What does forgive mean in the Greek, the way it was used there? Let it go. It release them. Release it. Let it go. We sentence a lot of people in our lives. Life, that's a long time, without the possibility of parole. But some of us are really smart. Some of us are really tricky. We actually give life with parole. And that's just downright mean. Life with parole. You know what that means? That means you periodically go before the parole board to find out whether or not you're going to get out. They never know whether they're going to get your heart back. They never know if they're going to get back in right relationship. They never know if you're really forgiving them. They get all the way there only to be disappointed. And then you wonder why they act the way they do. Life with parole. And here's the thing about parole. When you finally let them out, they're not really out. They're not really free. You just say you freed them. You're still monitoring. You're still nitpicking. You're still looking at every little thing they do with the threat of going right back into that jail. Come on now. You know this is familiar. Come on now. You know you got some people in your life that you put on life with parole and you thought you were being nice. You think you're being nice for them to live walking on them eggshells all the time. We just heard the song, Not Guilty. You can say somebody's not guilty and you cannot really forgive them and you can just watch them walk on those eggshells and you know you enjoy that power. You know you enjoy that power watching them walk on those eggshells and you get to be the holy one. Yeah, you're the holy one. You're the Christian one. You're the church-going one. Uh-huh. Does this sound familiar to anyone? When somebody goes up for parole, they don't talk about all the years and months that the person did their time good. They're only going to talk about all the times they were written up. When you're out on parole, all they want to know is, are you clean? They're just looking for the negative. That doesn't mean it isn't the right way to handle that. But when you're talking about a Christian in an emotional sense and trying to live up to what God said, he said, let it go. So we're breaking all those barriers. We're breaking down all the walls of the things that we think we've been getting away with. How about God treating us the way we treat other people? Forgive us our debts while we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses while we forgive those who trespass against us. All those things always go together. Now, what if God gave you life with parole? Or what if he gave you life without the possibility of parole? Let alone he could give you the death penalty because that's what we deserve, right? He didn't do any of those things. What did he do? And he did the time for you. He went all the way to the chair for you. So this is what's supposed to happen. If we're supposed to, because of that acceptance, that's supposed to affect us. Why doesn't it? If what he did was real, why doesn't it change us? Huh? Why doesn't it change us? We say we want to be cleaned up inside, right? Uh-huh. You are to die for. But he's never asked you to die for your friends, although Stephen did. And forgave them all along while he did it. Just like Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
So life with and without parole. God expects us to take their clothes, all their belongings, go get all their valuables, give them some money in addition, walk them to the door, and let them out for free. Let them free. That's what he expects. Free, no parole, unconditional release, record expunged. Can you handle that? Huh? But the point is that this impacts your prayer life. And God cannot fully empower your prayer life like you want him to if your prayers are based on the fact that you have insecurities, you're paranoid, you're angry, you're envious, you're resentful. I know I touched everybody at least once. At least once. When you have those issues, you don't see clearly. You don't make the best decisions. You don't pursue the right things. And you don't pray for the right things. You can't have that kind of power. If you want to come close to that power, you need to let it go. Remember that breath after the exhale? That's what your prayer should be like. But you got to first let it go. That next breath felt so good, and you know it. It felt so good. Are you learning something today?
Amen.
So now that you understand what God wants from you, he expects us to forgive. He expects us to truly what? Let it go. Let today be the day that you choose to let it go. Amen?
Amen.
And because you don't let it go, it affects your relationships. It affects the decisions you make. You make bad decisions. And you end up in what? Predicaments. And so then you go down and you get on your knees and you know what? Now your prayers are all born out of your predicaments that you got into because you would not let it go. So when you get down there, you need to let it go so you can move forward. I told you earlier, even your gifts and your sacrifices that you think should be so sweet, if you can't let stuff go, it's clogging things up. It's clogging it up. You know that the Bible says that if you're not treating your wife right, husbands, your prayers are hindered. We know that, right? Mm-hmm. So you just wah, 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 wah. Okay? But here's the thing, ladies. Just because it does not say it explicitly in the Bible, specifically about your prayers, do you think that just because you can come and go into church and smile in the pastor's face and be in all the auxiliaries and your husband is the last thing you take care of in your life and you take care of everything and everyone else before you take care of him and then he knows that you finally did him a favor when you take care of him, do you think that you're really going to be this powerful praying woman? Do you really think that? You can fool people. You can even fool church people, but you can't fool God. He cares more about what's inside of you than what comes out of you. Amen?
Amen.
So God wants us to forgive. So when you stand there praying, does he say speak in tongues? Does he say some big fancy words? Does he say sound all spiritual? Does he say pray a long time and say a whole lot of stuff? No, he says what? Forgive. Let it go. Now, whatever you do, don't compare what you did to what they did because then you won't let it go. Because theirs is always going to sound worse. Okay? Don't do that. What you do is you compare what you've done to what God deserves. Now you realize, uh-oh, I need forgiveness. Now it should be easier to forgive the other person, amen?
Amen.